This week's parsha is Parshat Beshalach. The Shabbos is also known as Shabbos Shira. We know the name of this week's Shabbos, of Shabbos Shira, is based on the Shirat Hayam, the song of the sea, that the Jewish people sung as to their cross the sea in explanation and in praise of God for this tremendous miracle that he did for the Jewish people. And that's the major theme of Parshat Beshalach, is how the Jews actually left the land of Egypt, and how they crossed the Red Sea, even though the Egyptians were hot in pursuit after them, how the Egyptians drowned in the sea, and the Jewish people sang Shira, sang praise to Hashem. The end of the parasha deals with different incidences that happened to Jewish people after the crossing of the sea. They were in a place where there was no water, where they only had bitter water, and God instructed Moshe to take a tree and to throw it into the water, and the bitter tree made the bitter water sweet. And then they went into the experience of having a lack of food, and the man was given to the Jewish people, as well as the slav, the quail. And then we have the story of Masa Meriva, where Moshe Rabbeinu was told to hit the rock in order for water to come out for the people. And finally, the end of the parasha is the story of Amalek, who attacked the Jews in Rephidim, and Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands to heaven, which was a sign for the Jewish people to lift their eyes and hearts heavenward, and they were able then to be victorious in the war. I'd like to really focus in on the aspect of Shiras Hayam, the song of the Red Sea, in particular in the fact that this week is called after this experience of Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos of song. The Nesiv HaShalom points out in Source 1, where he says, the Kishem Shazman Norer Takriya, just like the time awakens the reading of the Torah, which means that on Pesach we read about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and on all the holidays we read about what happened, Kach HaKriya Norer Tetazman. Likewise, the reading of the Torah creates an environment of that very same time that happened in the past, which means that when we read in the Torah about Gulat Mitzrayim and Kriyat Yamsuf, that experience creates a certain environment in the air that one can actually feel when reading it on that particular Shabbos, even though it didn't occur at that particular time. So clearly on Pesach, when we read about the stories having to do with Pesach, we feel that same power, spiritual power that existed at that time, we experience on Pesach. But likewise, every time we have Kriyas HaTorah, so those events also create a certain environment within the air. He brings an example of a certain Hasidic Rebbe where he almost began saying Hallel on Parshas Bo. He was so taken by the miracles that happened in the Parsha, that's the obvious response. That's why he explains in the Siva Shalom, V'zeu Inyan Shabbat Shira, Shaidei HaKriya Mitzarerit Bahara Shel Shirat Hayam. Through reading about the Kriyas Yamsuf of Shabbat Shira, we have that same emotional and spiritual forces that existed at the time of the splitting of the sea. I'd like to try to examine today, so try to understand what exactly are these spiritual forces that were found at the time of the splitting of the sea that's found this week, Parshas Beshalach and Shabbos Shira. And I'd also like to try to understand why we have a special Shabbos named after that which is found in the portion of the week. This is highly unusual. We know if we look through the Jewish calendar, there are some times where we call a Shabbos by a special name. For example, we have the Arba Parshios, the four special Parshas, starting with Shabbos Shkolim, right before Rosh Chodesh Adar, Parshas Zachor, having to do with Amalek, Shabbos Parshas Parah, Shabbos HaChodesh, which all have to do with the times and different events that happen in the Jewish calendar. We have Shabbos HaGadol right before Pesach, Shabbos Chazon and Shabbos Nachamu before and after Tisha B'Av, as well as Shabbos Shuva, which is right before Yom Kippur, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So I understand that all of these Shabbatot are called by their special name because of events that happened during that particular week of tremendous historical significance. But where does Shabbos Shira fit into this whole group of special Shabbatot? It's named after that which is found in the Parsha. We don't have Shabbat Achim, the Shabbos of brothers, we read about Joseph and the brothers. It seems highly unusual that a Shabbos should be called by a special name for something found in that particular Torah portion. So I'd like to try to examine together is what is unique about Shabbos Shira, what is unique about Shira Sayam, the song of the sea that gives it its own Shabbos. I think where we can begin is to try to understand a very fascinating medrash, which is found at the beginning of the portion of Az Yashir. The medrash which we'll look at in English is found in source number 3. The first words of the medrash is, Az Yashir Moshe, says the medrash, then Moshe will sing. When Moshe first went to Paro to plead on behalf of the Jewish people, things subsequently became worse for the Israelites. Moshe then complained to God, from the time that I came to Paro, things have become worse, and the language that's used in the Torah is Me'az Bati El Paro. From the time I came to Paro and I thought things were going to get better, things in fact have gotten worse. Moshe started his complaint with the word Az. Although he wasn't punished for what he said because he spoke out of pain for his Jewish brethren, nevertheless, his manner of complaint was somewhat inappropriate. Therefore, when Moshe finally saw the salvation of God, he used the same word as to praise God in the Song of the Sea as a corrective for his earlier inappropriate complaint. So here we have a very fascinating medrash, where the medrash is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Az in his complaint to Paro, and therefore, as his corrective measure, he's using the same word Az in our parsha of Az Yashir Moshe. So what's going on here? The fact that he began his complaint with Az, he's now correcting it with the word Az. It's very interesting because the medrash then continues by saying that he learned this from Hashem himself. Because Hashem, in the story of Mara, uses a bitter tree to correct the bitter water. So the very same thing that was the problem, that's the corrective measure. So likewise, his problem was the word as, so his corrective measure is the word as. How do we understand this medrash? So I think we need to have a deeper understanding of what the word as is all about then. There's a very fascinating Maharal which comments on the Medrash, on the word Az. It's brought down in Siftei Chaim, verses 4 through 6, where the Medrash says, what does the word Az mean? Az, says the Medrash, is Echad Rochev Al Shiva. One riding on seven. The Az is composed of two letters, Aleph Zayin. Aleph is one, Zayin is seven. So it's the one riding on the seven. That's what the Medrash says. What does this mean? So the Maharal explains very deeply. He says we know in general that six is a cube. Six forms something. Six sides as a davar shalem, something whole, right? A cube has six sides to it. It's something that's a unit in and of itself. What does seven represent? The one beyond the six, it represents the concept of ribui hachalakim b'chol makom, the different aspects that are found. It's the fragmentation. It's going beyond the whole of six. Therefore, says the Maharal, any time the Torah wants to mention the concept of a lot, more than a whole, a tremendous amount, it will use the concept of seven as reference to a lot. For example, the Derech Echad Yetzeyu, a pasuk in the 28th chapter of Dvarim, in one path they'll run after you to chase you, u'b'shiva drachim yanusu mipanecha, and in seven ways they'll run from you. So seven doesn't necessarily mean exactly seven paths, but rather it means a lot of different paths. That's the concept of seven. So therefore, when it wants to say, the kasher rotzel lomar ki hu yitvarach echad Moshe lachalokim kulam, it uses the word as. As, the one riding on the seven, means the one, which is a reference to alufo shel olam, God, who is one. He's riding on the seven, and the seven represents the different aspects that are found in the world. That God is in control of all the different aspects and the different parts of the world. And the Maharal goes on even further. He says, so we understand till now that the word as, the Medrash, one writing on seven, is a reference to God who is in control of all the different aspects of the world. But the Maharal continues, and this is in source 5, and says that it's very fascinating in looking at the Tanakh, at the Bible, we find the word as used for things that happen both in the past, as for example, we have as huchal likro b'shem Hashem, and you also have it as a reference to the future of az yimalei scholpinu, and then our mouths will be filled with joy. The word as is used in the Torah not for any particular time. It's used for events that happened in the past, and then they began to call out in God's name, and in the future, and then we will sing praises to God. The word as, the one writing on the seven, is a reference to something that is far above time. And he goes on to explain, this is based on the Maharal as well as what's brought down in the Michtam Eliyahu, is that we view life through the prism of time. And the way we understand time, time has a past, present, and a future to it. An example Rav Dessler gives to this understanding is if we take a look at a map and we cover up all the cities on the map and just leave a little window on the piece of paper that's going to cover up the map. And as we move the paper throughout the different cities, we get a chance to see that particular city. So right now, wherever that window is, that's the city that I see. The window that I just saw but is now covered up is in the past. I no longer see it. And the windows that I will uncover soon are still as yet covered up because the paper's covering them. I have not yet moved the window covering them. And as we move the window along this map, we get to see more and more cities. That's the way we view life. There's a past, we look at the present where we're living right now, and then the future. However, explains the Mefarshim, that in the future time, when our bodies are no longer constricted, our souls are no longer constricted by our bodies, and we have a separation of body and soul, wherein we're talking about after a person is no longer alive, so then the soul has the ability to live in the past, present, and future all at the same time. They're able to, whatever this may mean, it's difficult for us to understand living with the concept and segmentation of time, but it's able to live all at once in all three dimensions. And this is the concept of netzach. Something is eternal means it's not something bound by time. It's above this aspect. It's able to see all time in one perspective. Getting back to our example, it would mean lifting up the sheet of paper with a little window and able to see all the cities at one glance. So there you see the past, present, and the future together. Which means that time by its very essence is something which is concealed. Source 9, again Siftei Chaim, Kach gam hirkiv lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishkafayim ka'elu shel hester hazman. God gives us, in our lifetime, glasses which cover up time. Kidei shenuchah b'migvalot haguf lachush v'luchyot rak et harega shel ha'oveh. That we're only living in the present time that we're in. And time, by definition, is a concept of hester, that which is hidden, where we only see a very, very small part without seeing the whole picture. In living such a life of only seeing a small part, so then we have a tremendous amount of questions about God. When we only see a small segment and we don't see the whole picture, so then we don't understand the whole picture. We don't live on a level of netzach, where we see the past, present, and future, where the sheet of paper is lifted up. Us living and seeing just a small segment, we have a lot of questions about God of how could you allow this to happen. If we have the ability to lift up the sheet of paper, so then we'd have the ability to see everything in perspective. not just looking at a small segment of a picture and saying, the Mona Lisa, you call that a beautiful painting? I just see a black and green smudged dot. That's correct. If you only see a very small picture, so you see it's an ugliest painting, a kindergarten person painted it. If you're able to step back and see the whole picture, so then you see a masterpiece of art. And then this, therefore, is what Oz means. Oz, the one riding on the seven, the Oz of the past, present, and future, is the ability to see perspective, the ability to see shlemus, to see everything as an entire unit. And this, says the Sifte Chaim, is what Shira is all about. He says in source number 11, Kashir higiyu lahakarash shlemut van hagat Hashem yitbarach, when they had this understanding of the way God runs the world, ha-me'achedet et kol merot, that unifies all the events, ha'avar hidromimu l'madregat ha-shira, where you see how all the events of the past and how all the events of the future that will come are all part of one tapestry. When you see this concept of shlemus, of this wholeness, so then you reach a level of shira, a level of song, a level of completion. Rabbi Kurzer in The Art of Jewish Prayer notes this in Source 12 in relation to the Jews at the Red Sea. He said the Jews' task was to realize that God created this situation for a distinct spiritual purpose. When people are saved from a crisis, they normally feel grateful to God. The Israelites could have said to God, "You want us to thank you for saving us? You are the one who created this crisis altogether." But by using their wisdom, they understood that God's actions had a purpose. They were intended to show the world that God is the master and controller of everything that happens. He created the crisis in order to manifest himself in this way and to demonstrate that when people are in danger, God will help them if they will only turn to him. This concept clarifies how Moshe began the song with the word Az. When he first complained to God that the oppression of the Jews was getting worse and worse, he did so because the tribulation seemed to have no direction. When he saw their salvation at the Red Sea, he understood that there was a purpose behind all of their suffering, namely to create a greater proclamation of God's existence. When Moshe sang the song, he did so not only for that specific salvation, but for all the troubles that had befallen the Jews, troubles for which he could then see a higher purpose. The more someone suffers, the greater is the revelation of God that follows it. Jews do not sing praise to God only for being saved. We sing for the entire process of salvation, including that which was painful, because it ultimately reveals God's involvement in the world. And that explains the word Oz. It's only in retrospect that we truly understand the meaning of why we must go through certain difficulties. At that point, we can praise God for both our salvation and our troubles. Since the Jews at the Red Sea sang a song not only for their salvation, but for all of the preceding crises, this was the level that they reached at that time, the level of Oz. So we now can understand the Medrash we began with on a little deeper level. Oz Yashir Moshe, it was the word Az that Moshe Rabbeinu originally complained to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Az Batel Paro, from the time I came to Paro, this was Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint where he didn't understand what was going on in this world. He didn't understand God's justice system. Now, having gone through all the plagues and gone through the experience of helping the Jews being redeemed, then in retrospect he was able to now say, Az where I now see that all that the Jewish people went through had a purpose, had a direction, is part of a larger and greater plan. And this is the Shira Sayam, this is the ability to see things in perspective. Perhaps to give a modern day example of this concept of Oz, of seeing things in perspective, it's a story that my mother-in-law frequently tells of how her family lived in Cuba for many years, and then her father had many relatives in France, and he moved to Paris in order to be with his family, and my mother-in-law was indeed born in Paris. And my mother-in-law's father's dream was to become a French citizen. He wanted to be just like the rest of the members of his family, and he kept on applying for French citizenship. But since there was a quota and they took only a certain amount of Jews, he was always refused. And this was his greatest disappointment in life. He lived for the day that he could become a French citizen. Well, as we know the way Jewish history works, the war broke out, World War II, and they were all taken to concentration camps. And it was the fact that they weren't French citizens, but that they were Cuban citizens, that there was an exchange of prisoners, of German officials and people from the German officials' family who were in Havana, Cuba. And they did an exchange of prisoners for Cuban citizens that were found under the Germans. And that's how they were saved during the war and able to get out of the concentration camp and ultimately saved. Well, unfortunately, my mother-in-law's father's entire family lived in France, perished during the war. So this is a simple example where we see, and there are really so many examples of this in life, where it's so hard to see what's going on. Where that which he wanted so much and so badly, to become a French citizen, the fact that he was denied that citizenship was the fact that saved him and his family from perishing during the war. This is the Ha'ara, this is one of the major sparks, the inspiration of the moment that's found when we read the Shira Sayam, the Song of the Sea, the ability to see things in perspective, the ability to have shlemus, the ability to have wholeness, the ability of song. Rav Gedalia Yeshur and Or Gedaliahu develops this idea very beautifully. And he says, we see in Parshas Ha'azinu that Parshas Ha'azinu is called a Shira. The Torah tells us, Va'ata kitvu lachem et ha'shira hazot, and now write for yourself this song. So Sfasemes asks a very obvious question. How can we call the Parshat Ha'azinu a Shira, a song, when he says, Halo harbe on shin k'tuvim parasha? V'lama nikreit b'shem Shira? We have so many punishments that are found and dire prophecies that are found in Ha'azinu. How could we possibly call it a song? So here the Or Gedaliahu explains, based on Sfasemes, because it's even for the difficulties that we have to sing Shira. It's a beautiful pasuk in the 101st chapter of Tehillim which says, Chesed u'mishpat ashira. For kindness and for judgment, I'll sing a song. Shigam al hamishpat notanim shira. Even for justice, we sing a shira, we sing a song. And that's what shira is all about. Ikar nikudat hashira, levarer shigam al parniut, ra'ui latet shira. Even on the difficulties, we're able to sing a shira. And this can also explain the part that we mentioned earlier of the mara, of the bitterness, using the bitterness of the water is healed by the bitterness of the tree. Says the Sifte Chaim, Ve'haya kemashal ubinyan av leharot ledarot, Shigam hasarot v'yisurim hem l'tovat ha'adam. This is to teach us that even the difficulties are for the betterment of man. Even the mishpat we sing a shira for. We take bitter waters and we don't use something sweet to purify the waters. We take something bitter, and through the bitterness itself that we attain sweetness. And this is really our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to see in the difficulties that this too is for the good. The Or Gedaliahu continues, and he says, on the pasuk that says that the people say, Ki ein Elokai bir kirbi, this is considered a sin, when they don't see God within difficulties. It's within these things. It's v'anochi haster aster panai. When God hides his face, you still have to see the anochi. It's very fascinating how the Shira ends. The last pasuk of the Shira is the following. Source 18. Re'u ata ki ani anihu. see now that I am him, that I am really God. So explains here Gedayahu, ki ani nikra kishanagahu behitgalut. The I means that you're able to see God on a revealed level. The who more ala hester, and the who, the third person, the him, represents God when he's hidden. The end of the Shira is the theme that we've been developing. She'ata yiru, now they'll see, ki ani hu, that I am him. She'shnei ha'nagot hem echad, that both things are really one. Ben ha'ani uven ha'hu ha'kol echad, that you'll be able to see the ani hu, that both when God is ani and he reveals himself, as well as he's who, that he's hidden, that you don't see him, that there's a hester pani, that there's a hiddenness. Both of these times realize ani anihu, that God is indeed found there. And perhaps this is a deeper way of explaining that famous line of the Shira Sayama, the Song of the Sea, where the people said, Zeke liva anvehu elokei aviv armenhu, this is my God, and I will beautify him, the God of my fathers, and I will exalt him. So we know the famous Chazal, our rabbis, who explain the word v'anvehu, and I will glorify him, as constituting two words, ani vahu, that we should emulate God, ani vahu, that I will be like God. On a deeper level, understanding what the Or Gedayahu says, we can explain the word vanvehu very beautifully. Zekeli vanvehu, this is my God, and I will exalt him. It means, this is my God, zekeli, I'm able to point to him, vanvehu, whether he's an ani or whether he's a who. Whether he's in a revealed state or in a hidden state, we're able to see that God is indeed running the show. And this is the climax of the Shira. This is the climax of what the song is all about. Now, on a deeper level, this is really what music is all about, what song is really about. Rabbi Tatz in Living Inspired explains in Source 23. He says, a musical experience is certainly greater than the sum of its parts. The individual notes which must be played to produce that music. One is moved by the totality of the music, the interrelationship and the harmony of the notes, which combine to produce the unique quality of the music as a whole. But that effect is achieved by playing those individual notes, and each note must be played correctly at the correct time. What music is all about is this idea, where you have every note played, but you cannot appreciate a piece of music just by studying one note. You have to see all the notes in a whole. You have to see the entirety to appreciate the piece of music. If you hear just one note, one cadence, maybe very nice, maybe very inspiring, but it doesn't give you what the whole piece of music is like. This is what the Shira is about. Being able to play a whole piece of music. And he goes on and he's saying this analogy is not accidental. Music is made of seven notes. The eighth and the octave is the same as the first, which combine to produce far more than could ever be imagined from hearing them individually. This is the concept of Oz, the one riding on the seven. The one riding on the seven notes of the musical notes. Have the ability not to understand each individually, but to see things as a perspective, and then the music combined produces far more than the original notes. When looking at things in its entirety, you're able to appreciate it much more than just living at the moment. If this is what Shira is all about, if song is about the word as perspective, being able to see things like a musical symphony as a larger scale, not just individually, so then we can appreciate what Shabbat Shira is all about. Because the concept of Shira and the concept of Shabbat are really one and the same. If we know in our Shabbat morning davening, instead of reciting Hameir La'aretz like we say every day after Yishtabach and the Birchos Kriyat Shema, we instead after Yotzeor Uvareh, that God, who is the creator of light, the creator of darkness, he creates peace and creates everything. We then begin the section, instead of Hameir La'aretz, with the words, Hakol Yaducha, Vahakol Yishabchucha,
Vakol Yomru, etc. We end that section, Yotzer HaKol. The word Kol, everything, where everyone will praise God and everyone will exalt God. And God is the creator of everything. The word Kol is a key word that appears over and over again in this section. The word Kol is the same idea of Shira, being able to see things in perspective. Here the Sifri Chaim quotes in source 25 and 26, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, where he says in 25, Chalkei HaBriyah HaZot, if you look at the creation, Mishemabit Aleihem Lefi Re'ot Anav, if you look at it, B'tchila Lo Yira'im Ela Inyanim Mefuzarim Mefuradim, Peirush Bilti Mitkashrim Kulam El Tachlit Achat. Looking at the creation, it seems to be different elements of the creation where you don't see how. Look at a fly and you say, wow, the intricacies of the fly and how the fly develops and how the fly is able to do whatever it does. And then you look at a lion and you look at a flower. That's the concept of looking at all the creation and seeing the greatness of all creation. And then there's a much, much greater level than that. This level of seeing all the creation in its individual parts is known as the creation of Sheishi and Breishi, of the 6 days of creation. But then there's a higher level to see everything, and that's source 27, Achmish Shiamik Bechokhma, one who investigates further in wisdom. Nimsa Hayot Kol HaNimsaim Kulam Mitkashrim Kesher Gamur Zeh Bazeh, they'll see how everything is interconnected one with the other. Shukulam Svichim LaShlim Hayan Shelav Kivna Chokhma Al Yona Bavriyah, where they're all functioning together in a larger ecosystem where each different parts of the world help each other grow and help nurture each other. That's looking at the perspective of Shabbos, where you don't see things point by point, piece by piece, but rather Hakol being able to see things in a much larger unit. And this is the same thing with looking at the world. Where so often we look at evil and we say evil exists on its own. And the answer is no. It's interesting to note, Sifri Chaim brings it down in source 29, that the original verse in Isaiah that begins off the blessing of this section is Yotzeor, the creator of light, Uvarei Choshech, the creator of darkness, Oseh Shalom, he who creates peace, and then the original pasuk is Uvorei Ra and creates evil. And the rabbis in instituting the blessing, instead of Uvorei Ra instituted, created evil, they write instead Uvorei Atakol creates everything. So what are we doing? Changing around words? But really not. The Uvorei Atakol is the deeper understanding of Uvorei Ra. You can't look at Ra as just Ra as evil. You have to see it as a kol, as a much larger unit, where the negative is part of a much larger scene, where the negative leads to something positive. You can't just look at negative in a pure, absolute sense. And that's what Shabbos is about. Well, all week, we look at the different things that happen to us every single day. We just examine that particular day and the events that happen in that day. Shabbos has the ability to step back and see perspective. How have we grown from Sunday through Friday? How can I look back and see that that which happened during the week, which may have been a difficulty, I was able to see how I was able to grow from it. I'm able to see things in a larger perspective because of these events. And that's the challenge of Shabbos. The challenge of Shabbos is to be able to see Hakol, everything. To be able to see the Gilui, the Ribui, Kvod Hashem Ba'olam, the way God, whole entirety, is manifested in the world. And this is why we're given the Shema Yaseira an extra soul on Shabbat. It's a soul of understanding. It's the ability to perceive things beyond the level that we look at during the entire week. And I think this is a wonderful challenge for us. So often at a Shabbos table, we ask our children, can you give us a Dvar Torah, what you learned during the week? You know, say over a word on the parsha or something you learned in school. Would it be so wonderful, aside from doing that, is to be able to sit with the children and say, how have you grown from the week?
What were some of the experiences that you've had that made you a better person from this week? How are you a different person this week because of what you went through? Allow us to see perspective in life. Shlemus, wholeness, Az, Kol, being able to see the entire picture. And that's why Shabbos and Shira are really one and the same. Shabbos affords us the opportunity to see perspective. Shira's song is about perspective. With this in mind, we can explain a beautiful medrash which the Or Gedaliah brings down in Source 31. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya which says, referring to the angels, Sheish Knafayim Le'echad, that there were six wings to every angel. V'chol Knaf Hu Omer Shira Achad B'yom B'sheish Yimei HaChol. That each wing, metaphysically, would sing Shira, sing praise to God on each one of the 6 days of the week. Six wings, 6 days of the week. U'keshemagia Shabbat, when Shabbos came, Omrim HaChayol B'fnei HaMakom, the angels said in front of God, Ribono Shel Olam, Ein Lanu Od Knaf. We have no more wings. What are we going to do on Shabbos? V'kadosh Baruch Hu Meshiv Lahem, to which God responds, Yesh Li Od Knaf, Echad Ba'aretz. I have one more wing down on earth. Shomer Lufanai Shira, that sings in front of me Shira. Shne'emar, as it states, Niknaf Ha'aretz Mirot Shamanu, from the corner, the knaf of the world, from the earth, it's Mirot Shamanu, we heard song. And this is a reference to the Jewish people who sing Shira to Hashem on Shabbos. What does this mean? What does this medrash mean? So explains the Or Gedaliah the following. Shira is a concept of seeing Gilui Kvod Shamayim, seeing the revelation of godliness, being able to see that the hiddenness of God can really be revealed in seeing God's hand. And that's what it means, V'yesh b'yicholet ha-mlachim lo'tzi me'akorach al-apol ha-shira sh'yimot ha-chol. The angels have the ability to see godliness in the 6 days of the week, which reference to the six wings. However, on Shabbat they don't have a wing, they don't have this ability to sing Shira. This ability is given to the Jewish people. This ability to be able to see God in the world, to step back after 6 days of creation, is given over to the Jews. And this is the mizmor that we say, especially for Shabbos, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat Tov L'Hodo L'Hashem. This is a mizmor which is unique for the Jewish people, where we sing praise to God. As the Siva Sholem points out in Sources 34 and 35, if you take a look at this mizmor, at this psalm, we have no reference to Shabbos aside from the first line. It talks about what happens to good people, what happens to bad people. But this is really what the song is all about and what song is all about. Where Lahagid Babokir Chastecha Bemunatcha Baleilos is that we see the chesed of God in the morning and even in the evening we see it. We see that there is a purpose to creation. We see that there is a oneness in creation. The Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, which has nothing, it seems, to do with Shabbos, which talks about God running the world, this is our praise of God. This is the ultimate Shira. This is the ultimate Shira of Shabbos, with the ability to see the way God runs the world. Because all week we're so connected to our bodies. On Shabbos we're connected to our souls. The souls have the ability, like as we saw earlier, when no longer connected to the body after death, they have the ability of Netzach to see past, present, and future together. And Shabbos, we're connected to that deeper element within us, that Neshama Yaseira, where we have the ability to see perspective. And this, then, is what Shabbos Shira is all about. As Nesiva Shalom says in Source 36, in reality, every single Shabbos is Shabbos Shira. V'hein ma she'esem ha-shabbat kadosh hu yom ha-shira, she'neshama v'aruch shal yehudi omrim bo shira l'fnei Hashem yifarach. Every Shabbos, the soul of a Jew sings Shira to God. So what is Shabbos Shira about? So Shabbos Shira, he says, last line of 36, v'shabbat shira hi b'chinat shir ha-shirim kodesh kadoshim. If every Shabbos we sing Shira to God, and Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos of Kriyas Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf, as we know, as we spoke about, is the ability to see God in Kriyas Yam Suf. The Zed Keli Vanvehu, the Ani Vahu, to be able to point to God, to be able to see God's revelation, to understand the Az, the past, present, and future, to understand the system of God. That's what Kriyas Yam Suf is about. That's what Shabbos Shira is about. That's what Shabbos is about. Shabbos Shira is Kardesh Kadashim. It's Shira Shirim. It's the ability on the most intense level to be able to sing the praise to God where we understand that everything is run by God, that there is a system to this world, that there is one God, the Az, the one riding on the seven, where there is God who's running the world, and we're able to try to find and understand on some level the Gilui Shechina, the revelation of godliness in this world. So I think what we've seen till now, one final point, we'll review to what we've seen till now, is that Kriyas Yam Suf is a revelation of God where the people were able to see how everything is for a higher purpose. Shabbos is that concept of Hakol, of seeing everything in perspective. Shabbos Shira is Shira Shirim, is Kodesh Kedashim, is have the ability on the most intense level to see the world in the correct perspective and to sing Shira. We still need to understand, very nice, it's very beautiful, but why is this Shabbos giving a special name of Shabbos Shira? Every Shabbos is really Shabbos Shira. I think perhaps the answer is that just like all the other Shabbatot we spoke about are connected to events that happen during the week, Shabbos Shira is also connected to an event that happens in the Shabbat and the week following Shabbos Shira. And that's the holiday of Tu B'Shvat. What is Tu B'Shvat celebrating? It's celebrating the reemergence and resurgence of the sap in the tree. On a deeper level, the fact that the sap reappears in the tree is teaching us a very deep lesson. Rabbi Kurzer, Source 37, The Art of Jewish Prayer, in talking about the buds and blossoms of the blessing we say in Nisan, says the following. He says, there are situations when life appears to end, such as when everything dies in the autumn and goes into a deep freeze for the winter. The moment spring comes, we realize that what seemed to be death was only a figment of our imagination. Apparent death was only God's way of putting things into a temporary state of dormancy. Subsequently, God invests new energy into trees that allows them to be even stronger than they were the previous year. This is how the physical world operates. What is Tu B'Shvat about on a deeper level? It's that tree which you thought was no longer producing fruit. It looks so bare in the winter. At the moment, at the height of the winter, really, where you think that this tree is gone, nothing can grow on it, that's the time that the sap is beginning to reemerge and beginning to have things grow again. That's the ability that we need to see, the anvehu, the anivahu, that even in the dark states of dormancy and apparent death, there's growth, there's rebirth, and there's life. Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos before Tu B'Shvat, is teaching us that lesson of life. It's a lesson of the tree, it's a lesson of Kriyas Yam Suf, it's a lesson of Shabbos, and it's a lesson of Shabbos Shira that we need to take into our lives. The ability to sing Shira, to sing praise to God, to see the wholeness of God, to see a certain amount of completion in this world, not to understand death on face value as death, but to see things on a higher perspective of the one riding on the seven, that God is in control of this world, and that there is a system of oneness that's found within this world, and Shabbos Shira is a celebration of this system.